Hey, thank you, Halsey. Thanks, Bart, for opening us up with those wonderful poems. And thanks, as always, to Joan and Chris for the Hemingway series and for having me here this evening. In particular, thank you to Chris for opening with his remarks and those two poems. I had another poem I was going to open up with, but it reminded me of another poem I have in a manuscript in progress. That I think is fitting for the holiday that just passed. And then I have another poem later that's fitting for a more somber event going on right now. So I'll open with this first poem called Earl, the Electrician. My grandfather moved cargo in the European theater behind Allied lines to keep our boys supplied. My grandfather rewired the island of Okinawa after America bombed and broke a whole nation. My grandfather was honorably discharged back to a broken nation, unwilling to rewire itself for people like him. This next poem is dedicated to my sister. Which is, there's nothing particularly special about that other than I always like to announce it because I love her. This poem is called Because. Because I was always better at word games. Because my sister was always better at Mancala, her hand a shifty, surly, scooping sidewinder, dipping into the pockmarked mahogany between us at 12 and 10 apiece. Her hand a constant passing back and forth around the board, my hand shaped better for pen and paper. Because picking up pieces means knowing where to place them. Because we are pieces of the people who came before us. Because our ancestry is more Plinko than Pac-Man. Yet this redistribution she was so good at, like something in the blood. And it made mine boil to watch her snatch away every last glob of glass into the end pit. And I'd marvel at how easy it was for her to get there. Because it takes so much movement to wind up where you're headed. Because Mancala means movement. Because she would drop her last stone in the store and say, "Eat your heart out." And I tried in vain to prove her wrong and always sewed too short and filled the remaining spaces with words I wasn't proud of. Because every game is still a word game to me. And I could give the definition of countenance or easily spell nauseous correctly on command, but I couldn't seem to count my moves correctly ahead of time. And isn't this what family is for? Wasn't our blood picked up and dropped here, moved all around this continent just to arrive where we are? What's the word for that? I'm asking because at 28, in the evening of my youth, I'm only just learning that words aren't everything. Because even though these childhood games are still fresh in my head, I still wish my sister could pick us up like little pieces of glass and place us right back there. So today is the centennial anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, which I feel has been increasingly not only in the news, I know Biden spoke there today and made remarks, but just increasingly something that people are becoming aware of. It's an event I only learned of maybe 6 or 7 years ago as I was working on other events, racial issues and events in history that I didn't always know of or didn't know the full picture of. And there's documentation of this event. One of the more famous pieces is a photograph of the top of Greenwood in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, it was known as, during the attacks and during particularly a bombing that occurred. And the name of the photo is called Little Africa on Fire. And so this poem is written after the name of that photograph. Little Africa on Fire. This is how the story begins, with a touch, a bump, a hot mouth, or jostled skin in an elevator, escalation, tension, even just the illusion of trespass. It always seems the smallest contact triggers the fire, the tip of a match struck along the lips of containment. For a while, my sister and I thought the world had no color until the 1960s, convinced old movies and photos were always true representations of history, that they always told the whole story, that color came between cartoons and civil rights, and long before then, the world was forever two-toned, light and dark, sometimes with little flecks or anomalies in the corners. Upon seeing pictures of our parents, both black and white and in color, we asked, what changed? Upon seeing pictures of Greenwood, both beautiful and burned, I ask, what other lies have I been taught to trust? There are three parts to a ghost story. The specter, planes in the sky, dynamite dropped on a black mob, a white mob with a machine gun raining bullets, American flag high behind it, fire and smoke all around, a long march past husks of burned out churches, 8 days of internment of blacks by the thousands, loops of litigation twisting the language of massacre into riot, insurance claims lost in the litter of legal destruction. The apparition. A flat view of Earth has always made Africa look little, smaller than Greenland. A flat view of Earth is what schools have used for us to see ourselves. A flat view of humanity has always singed the map, curled its edges into a close embrace of segregation, coiled pages of history away from prosecution and punishment. The murmur. We know a lie when it unfurls land flat in our hands. We know our hauntings because a family always keeps its ghosts close. We know pain, we know plunder, we know echoes. This is how to listen to a ghost story. Remember that there are no better angels above or beneath our skies, above or beneath charred churches and trees. All these angels, their halos falling augustly, deciduously, are all just stories strapped to a branch of history we seem to lose against the forest. Heaven is a black place, a smoky silhouette the tintype tattles on. Heaven is full of anomalies. How do I explain my homesickness for this? It's 2021, and I can't stop dreaming about flames in my mouth, in my palms and eyes at all times. I can't stop crying for Tulsa and 100 years spent dirt deep and silent beneath our feet. This is how to cross-examine a ghost. Jostle it with radar and listen to the echoes of old fire. Sometimes it takes a hot mouth to pronounce what the dirt has been whispering for generations. Sometimes flecks in the corners of photos are more than anomalies, the black and white of it lying in plain sight. This is how to give a ghost a home. Touch the dirt outside your house and ask how different it might feel in Greenwood. Ask if the anomalies sunk into the earth push against the surface around town, if those anomalies still burn down deep, if the anomalies are still hot in their mouths, tongues unstruck matches of history. It's the silence of fire that is always forgotten, spectral, substituted for memory. No more. Little Africa is a ghost sitting in the corner, its pose a perfect picture, its mouth a bonfire of heritage, its heart an anomaly pounding up against the dirt. And this last poem is called South Carolina. From here, perhaps I come, the counties as crinkled as the creeks, but the ground runs low, slow scraped into the horizon where the highway slips beneath the dark edges of the day, like the long pull of a comforter up past the eyes. I'm too fast for this place, but my blood has borne that out already. Everything, as they say, slower here. The land is an open mouth full of water. Even the rain has nowhere to go. It sits and seeps by the road on the way to the plantation I visit one night. Under a Chinese light show, I hold my love's white hand while we pass LED frogs and dragons. I'm not looking at the lights. I regard the live oaks and what they might know. What weight has sunk their roots and gnarled their limbs? Perhaps we recognize each other. I didn't know how wooded this land was. I don't know everything that these woods know, but I know the dark edges of the plantation hold back everything I love. The pulse in my neck is a whisper of wings through the branches. In the air, a barracoon tune hangs like Spanish moss. In this, my making. In this, my heart. There is no joggling board flexible enough to bring together my tears and the turf. From here, perhaps I come. Through a line of blacksmiths, the census labeled illiterate. And from illiteracy, they come with the name fogey hammered into their blood. And from some other blood, we know that they were purchased. I regard South Carolina as I do Ireland, two islands in a sea of my making. Sometimes I wonder what else the land has lied to me about. I wonder what the history books would say if they knew how blood could echo. I wonder today, as the news plays, what they expect me to think of social distancing, as if I'm not always 6 feet away from really knowing who I am. Thank you.